Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Probably continuing a theme sort of what we had this morning about being of good courage and being of good cheer and understanding that God wishes the best for you, and God is a God that will encourage you despite and in spite of anything you face. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Now you know we're reading this chapter that right before this Jesus had fed the 5,000 and with the five loaves and two fishes, and had blessed and break it, and everybody ate and had plenty, and they took up 12 baskets full after that. And so the multitudes are following him, chasing him, looking for miracles and signs and wonders, not necessarily wanting him as their Savior or their Lord, just wanting him as, you know, just wanting to see what he would do for them. But Jesus sent his disciples away in the ship, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Father, today, once again, we open your word, the word that gives life. We ask, Lord, that you'd open the eyes of our heart, open our ears to hear what you would say to each of us. Encourage your church in Jesus' name. Amen. Take our text out of verse 27, where Jesus simply said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." In this life, we have lots of things that would, bring discouragement and cause fear. If you watch the evening news every day, and, you know, you can watch news 24 hours a day now on several different channels, get a whole lot of different perspectives. But if you turn on your evening news, or the nightly news, your local news starts around 4 on most stations and goes through 7. With a small break for some evening national news. But if you watch news all the time, you'll definitely get discouraged, because it's nothing but bad news. Every now and then they'll throw a little snippet of something good that's going on in our nation. But most of the time it's about the bad. If you listen to everything that they tell you, you can certainly live your life in fear. Worried about what's going to take place tomorrow. Worried about whether the next terrorist attack's going to happen. Worried about whether some drunk's going to run head on into you. Wondering if your child's going to be kidnapped and sold into sex slavery. Wondering about this and wondering about that. Wondering if the next person of color you meet's going to pull out a knife and stab you. Don't you think that the persons of color sometime wonder if you're the next white man that's going to shoot them down? We're all living our lives in fear. It's all around us if we're not careful. We would get up in the mornings, barricade ourselves in our houses, get all of our guns out and load them, purchase more, and get ready for the end time. Just living our lives in fear. If you listen to everything they say and everything we think might happen, you would never get out of your house. You would never drive in your car. You'd never go to Walmart again. You certainly wouldn't go any place where there was a large gathering of people. You know, you wouldn't get in an airplane again. I don't plan on it, by the way. But you understand what I'm saying? These disciples, although they just had been walking with Jesus for some period of time, had just that very day saw him perform another miracle, feeding 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Here he comes walking. Now they're out in the midst of the water now. They're in a problem here. The winds are contrary. The waves are lapping up on their boat. And I don't know that they were worried about sinking at this particular time, but the Bible says that the waves were tossing, the boat was being tossed by the waves because the wind was contrary. But here comes Jesus walking on the sea, and instead of saying, "That's Jesus," they'd already lost some faith, already lost sight of Jesus, and said, "It's a ghost. It's this evil spirit." You would have thought they would have recognized Jesus. But aren't we the same way sometimes? We get in the midst of our problem, in the midst of this situation, and the world's winds are blowing contrary to us, and we're in our boat and it's being tossed, and here comes Jesus walking by, and we go, "Where's Jesus?" And he's walking right by you. He's on his way. Fact is, he's already there. We say, "Where's Jesus? He's nowhere around." And what we see him begin to move in our lives, well, that must not be Jesus, because the waves haven't stopped yet. The turmoil's still there. He hasn't told me to get out of the boat yet. He's still there. And he don't want us to fear. What did he say to him? "It's me." He could have said, "You cowards. You wimps. Why'd I choose you?" Well, I'll tell you why, because the Word of God says he chooses the foolish things. He chooses those foolish people to confound the wise people. But he had these disciples. You understand what I'm trying to say? Jesus was there. He said, it is I, be not afraid. Well, I want you to understand today that there's many fears in this life that we are all going to face. And I, for one, refuse to live my life in fear. Do I have moments of fear? Yes. But I refuse to live in fear. Am I cautious of some places I go? Absolutely. But I refuse to live my life in fear. Do I choose what time of the day I might go to a certain neighborhood in Oklahoma City? Yes, but I'm not going to live my life in fear. You understand? I was a water man in northeast Oklahoma City in the mid-80s. Very calm time of our century, unless you consider the post office massacre in Edmond. That happened while I was working in Oklahoma City. But my route, one of my early routes, was in northeast Oklahoma City. And it wasn't just the good part of northeast Oklahoma City where the good African Americans live. It was some of the roughest part of northeast Oklahoma City where some of the roughest African Americans live. And I'm backwoods, redneck, white guy. And I'm stuck over in northeast Oklahoma City. And I'm scared, because I'm the only one there most of the time. And sometimes I've had several dollars on me. Truckload of water worth a lot of money. But I learned not to be afraid to walk up to any of them's door, walk in the back room of a liquor store with the owner with a gun, loaded 38 revolver laying on his desk, and say, "Hey man, you owe me some money." And he'd just look at me and say, "I sure do, don't I? Let me get it for you." I had to learn to overcome fear of that liquor store owner. And I had to learn to walk through that liquor store to go get my pay for the water I'd left him. But I could have lived my life in fear and went back to my office and said, "Guys, I'm not going up there no more. Those folks don't like me." But you know what I found out? They did like me. They'd invite me into their home. Say, "Come here, Dennis. You want some cookies? You want something to eat?" Yeah. You know what I was thinking? Your house is cleaner than my Aunt Zelma's. I wouldn't eat her cookies, but I'll eat yours. I learned that there's just as, and then y'all, this has nothing to do with this sermon. I understand this. I want y'all to understand something. I learned during that time of my life that there are a lot of good black people that are loving, caring people who are cleaner than a lot of these loving, caring white folk.
What are you talking about?
Well, when you're raised up a certain way, you think they're all dirty. They're not. They're clean, good, God-fearing people living their lives the best they can. I sat down in one lady's house for 2 hours watching after that space shuttle blew up. I sat in her living room for 2 hours watching it on TV. Sat there and visited with her and watched it on TV with her. I might not have been there that long, but I was there quite a while. Just watching on TV and me and her talking about how bad things were getting. Guess how bad they are now. But I'm just telling you this. That changed my perspective of races. It changed it completely. So I was raised a certain way. Mom and Dad didn't teach us to be mean to black folks. They taught us to be good to them. But in my mind, they were different. But they weren't. They love God and they love you. They love people. And I learned a lot of things during that time. But see, if I didn't learn that, I could be fearful of every black person I meet. When I met them, I would begin to move away from them. Avoid them at all cost. And that's how we treat things sometimes, isn't it? Avoid it at all cost. There's no reason to do that. Here they were walking on the water, or Jesus was walking on the water, and they were afraid. But you see, he wants us to look at him and not be afraid. I could have lived my life in fear up there because I went to some places where there were shootings across the road right before I got there. And I could have lived my life in fear and not wanting to go there, afraid somebody's going to shoot me. But I just had to go. Say, God's going to take care of me. And he did. And I made friends. Made friends. They were glad to see me come. Some were glad to see me go. But Jesus wants us to look at him, no matter what you're going through, and not be afraid. I don't care what you're facing today, he wants you to look to him, the author and finisher of your faith, and not be afraid. Whatever it is. So his words of encouragement that we find here are founded upon his limitless power and intense personal love for those who belong to him. Do you belong to him today? Well, he has limitless power for you, towards you, and love is so intense you can't fathom how intensely he loves you. So anytime we face difficulties in life, you need to understand God will encourage. No matter what it is, he will encourage. If you're in the midst of the sea, your sea of life, he'll encourage you. If you're tossed by the waves, you're feeling turbulence, he'll encourage you. If the wind's contrary to you, you're facing difficulties, he'll encourage you. He wants to bring you through it. I don't care what it is, he wishes to bring you through that. Look at Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9 says this, and this is the Lord instructing Joshua, and he says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Be strong, be diligent. God's with you. No matter what you face, he's with you. He's going to go with you. Make God's word your authoritative guide for all your beliefs and all your actions. He's with you. There's an old song that goes, "Jesus is with you when the storm clouds gather. He'll be standing by your side when you hear the thunder roll. He'll hold your hand when you begin to tremble. You understand? He's with you. Joshua could have trembled. Joshua was being thrust into a leadership role. Yes, he had been trained. Yes, he had been anointed. But now here he was, the leader. And God's given him instructions and saying, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'm going to go with you no matter where you go. I go with you. So that's an encouragement to you and I today. No matter where we go, as long as we are on the Lord's side, He goes with us. No matter what you face, He will encourage you. That's what He does. Look at Joshua 11, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard these things, that he sent Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and the king of Asheph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and the plains of Chinneroth, and in the valley, in the borders of Dor, on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east, and on the west, and to the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Hivites, and all these different people. And when they went out, they and their host with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude with horses and chariots, very many. Here is Joshua. He's getting ready to bring a conquest of the south part of the land that God had promised them. And these kings made alliance with one another to drive out the Israelites. Don't you think that Satan, don't you believe that he has made an alliance with all of everybody he can make an alliance with to try to drive the church out of existence? And he's been trying it for 2,000 years, but God is on our side, and we will be victorious because of that fact that God is on our side. But this is what God said. All these men are pitched against you. And verse 6, it says this. He said, the Lord said to Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. I don't care what you're going with through today. God's on your side. And God wants to encourage you today not to give up. He said, it didn't matter. They were outnumbered in a lot of different ways. They had more armament. They had more of everything. And God said, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. So what can we do? We can worry ourselves sick. I don't know what I'm going to do. These bills are mounting up over here. I don't know what I'm going to do. My kids are just going crazy. I don't know what to do. My health is failing me all the time. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Well, I know what you need to do. Be still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. John 14:1, we've read this scripture more every service lately. It said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter in the 14th verse, it says, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. I don't care what you're facing. The Lord always gives us encouragement. I am on your side. Don't be worried. What's that old song? Don't worry, be happy. Ooh, I can't get the tune right, but you know what? I can't do it. I didn't think about it till just then, or I'd have practiced. No. But you got the picture. Don't worry, be happy. If the Lord be on your side, why in the world are we walking in fear? He's leading the way. Right through the storm, He's leading the way. Right through the trial, He's leading the way. No matter what you're facing, He's leading the way. Let Him lead the way. Be of good cheer. He will give you encouragement. Then He lends to you His limitless power. Look at 2 Chronicles 20:15. And He said, hearken ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, do not be dismayed, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Verse 20, the last part says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. What's God saying? I have limitless power. You don't. I have the resources. You don't. I know the way. You don't. I am the way. You're not. Trust me. I'll bring you through it. Stand still. See my salvation. Let me move on your behalf. Stop trying to fix it yourself. Let God fix it. We used to sing a song, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. That's scripture. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And I'm talking to the church today. Church, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God be God for you. We all try to fix it ourselves. We all worry ourselves sick. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? We lay down at night. I'm sleepy. I'm tired. And we lay down. I didn't know that cobweb was up there. We'll turn out the light. You won't see it. Well, if I turn out the light, I get scared. Because you're trying to fix it yourself. You can't fix it yourself. Let God fix it. He's got limitless power. He's encouraging you that I can do it if you'll just let me. It is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. Trust God. I think over the years I've learned this. I'm still learning it, but I've learned this. There's a lot of things we face. I'll waller in it for just a little bit. Then I just say, wait a minute. I just got to let God take care of it. I can't fix it. So if God fixes it, it's fixed. If he don't, why, that means I'm still going to come out on the other side okay. I'll walk through it. I'll go through it. It'll be okay. He's going to fix it one way or another. Then about a year later, I think, what was it so bad at the first of last year that I can't remember it. I know you say you're just getting old, preacher, but it's not just that. It's that the Lord handled it. It's a non-issue, and it's in the past, and it don't matter. If I did remember it, I should be remembering it to give God the praise. It's just God. He's there. So he gives you encouragement. He has limitless power, and he has an intense personal love for you. And the visions, Ephesians, how do you say that? Well, I say that like this, that. Ever had somebody ask, people, they ask me, something, you know, give them, say, I'll say, my wife's name's Willene. They say, how do you spell that? I say, it's T-H-A-T. Look, it's like, no, I mean, how do you spell your wife's name? Oh, okay, that's W-I-L-L-E-N-E. I said, I spell my wife's name, W-I, Ephesians 2, verse 4. It says, this, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. He loved you when you were unlovable. If he loved you when you were unlovable, why would he not love you now that you are lovable? Now that he saved you to the uttermost, you've been born again, bought with a price, placed into his kingdom, a part of his body, a part of his church, redeemed by his blood, set free by his sacrifice. Why wouldn't he love you now? If he loved you enough to save you, he loves you enough to encourage you, he loves you enough to spend his limitless power on you to meet your needs. If he loves you enough to save you, he loves you enough to keep you. He didn't save you to kick you out there and say, do the best you can. But that's what some are doing. They haven't learned to lean on the Lord. So he loves us that much. So I simply... In getting ready to close, it's just Let him love you. Let him meet your need. Don't fear. We're facing change, dramatic change in our world. Not just our nation, our world. Our youngest daughter is pregnant again. Going to find out, I guess, this week what she's going to have. And if we let it, we could almost, Margie, be fearful that they're bringing another child into this world. I don't know what our grandchildren are going to face if the Lord tarries. And if you dwell on that, you will begin to fear and worry about your children's and grandchildren's future. But I can't let myself do that. I trust God. And whatever it is, however it turns out, it's going to be okay. As long as we're in Him, in His arms, it'll be okay. Amen? There's a song that Ronnie Henson wrote after the end of the groups, or he may have wrote it earlier, I don't know. But anyway, this is part of it right here. I just want you to understand something. Just kind of listen to these words. It's not a real, not a lot of depth in this, but just something to think about along these lines. And it goes like this, and I think this is the chorus. Did it ever just occur to you that it never just occurs to Him? Whatever you're going through, He's already been. He's counted every hair, numbered every strand, knows you like the back of His nail-scarred hand. Did it ever just occur to you that it never just occurs to Him? Did you get that? He loves you. He knows you like the back of His nail-scarred hand. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He cares about you. That's how much He wishes for you to be victorious and allow Him to be God to you. We've all felt discouraged. Maybe you're feeling discouraged this afternoon. But you see, discouragement destroys hope. So, naturally, the devil's going to always try to discourage us. I've been discouraged. That old song, I Lean on You, I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I learned to lean on You. So I lean on You, Lord. So the devil wants to discourage us. He wants us to take all of our hope away so that we'll give up. That's what He wants you to do. Give up. But I'm telling you today, don't give up. I don't care what you faced in your past. I don't care what you'll face tomorrow. Don't give up. You don't want to give up. The Bible says in due season, we shall reap if we don't faint. Can I put it in my words? When the time's right, you're going to get to what's coming to you if you don't quit. In due season, we shall reap if we don't faint. Without hope, we give up. That's what He wants. The Bible repeatedly tells us not to be discouraged or dismayed. Why is that? Because if it's the Lord that's on your side, you don't have to be discouraged or dismayed. It doesn't matter how big the enemy is. It doesn't matter how sick you are. It doesn't matter how high the waves are splashing. Doesn't matter if there's water in the boat. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. God's on your side. There's a lot of things come against people. And it looked like it was going to be, you know, here a few years ago, Stephanie had a wreck. And she claimed she couldn't have got that fast in the length of time that she hit the back of this car who was stopped. And she claimed for... Actually, Waleen, I took my pickup over the other day and I was thinking about that, so I just gunned it from that stoplight, that stop sign up to that place where Stephanie hit that car. You can get a lot faster than what she said she was going. So I don't know how fast she was going. It doesn't matter. The point was this. By the time that was all said and done, didn't do that much damage to the lady's car, totaled Stephanie's little car out. But when it was all said and done, we got sued. My daughter got sued. Well, that means I got sued. My wife got sued for that, for the damage and for that lady's back who all of a sudden was hurting her. Well, you talk about worry. I know we had insurance. We were covered. But what if they, for what, some reason, way or another, got more than the insurance would cover? I mean, in my mind, it's like, I'd have to come up with all that, and I don't have it. I don't know what I'd do if I have to pay more than what the insurance would pay. You know what? There was no reason to fight. We prayed about it. We left it with the Lord and the lawyers. We didn't even have to hire a lawyer. The insurance company hired a lawyer. They had their own lawyers on staff. They fought for us. When it was all said and done, they did research. They spied on her. They caught her. They subpoenaed her records. They found out she'd had a lot of back injuries over the last few years. And that our wreck didn't cause her back injury. So we didn't have to pay nothing that we know of. But if we had let that would have been a two-year nightmare. So it took over 2 years to settle that. We were worried at first, but we just had to let the Lord have it. And guess what? It worked out. But we could have been consumed by that and let that zap our joy, take away all of our victory. And it was a small thing, but it seemed big. You know, I'd never been sued before. I didn't want to be sued. I didn't want to be that preacher down there at that church who, you know, his daughter run over that woman and killed her. Because that's what had been said by the time it was over. She killed that woman. What kind of girl did he raise anyway? She's probably drunk. Or high on dope, you know, these kids these days. Come on now. I really wasn't worrying about that part. I just made that up just then. But people say things. And I was worried about what the ramifications of that be long term for us, our family. It all worked out. It's done. Been done a long time. But don't be discouraged, see? He wants you to come through to victory on everything you face, so don't get discouraged. The Amplified Version of Psalms 42, verse 5 says this, and I'll close with this verse. Why are you cast down, O my inner self, or O my soul? And why do you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for Him. For I shall yet praise Him, my help and my God. I'll still praise Him. Why are you worried, self? Why are you shook up? I'm going to praise God. And I'm going to be an overcomer. Because He's my help. He's my God. Church, you need to pray that. Understand that. Whatever you're going through, He's your help. He's your strength. He's your victory. Walk in faith. Believe God. Amen? Amen. Well, y'all want to pray?